Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I just ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak through me today. I know you're moving mightily upon this church body, Lord. I ask, Lord, that we would hear what you have to speak today, that you would block out any distractions, and this would edify those who need to be edified, that this would chastise those who need to be chastised, and this would give us a boldness to share with others. Have your will in your way right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I actually am going to turn off the light because it's kind of a glare. Huh? My light's still shining. That's right. That's Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. The title of this message is Focus, Focus, Focus. You thought I was joking yesterday, didn't you, Jesse? She's like, what are you preaching on? Focus. What are you preaching on? Focus. Focus. We certainly live in strange times, do we not? And it can feel as if the weight of the world is suddenly and quite heavy upon us. Amen? And I can see that particularly with the swirl of texts in the past week, the prayer requests that come every single day. And the reality is, folks, this world is being judged. Now, some proclaim that God's judgment's going to fall many years from now. But the reality is, God's judgment can fall at any moment. In fact, I would say this nation and the world is filling up God's cup of indignation to its brim. And the reason is, world leaders openly admit that they are planning to establish a new world order, a world government, a world religion by 2030 or sooner. You've heard that numerous times now. The sustainable goals, the Great Reset, everything that is happening, it's a push. And if they can do it even sooner, they will. You understand that? The world and its leaders literally ignore the existence of God, of Yahweh. They ignore Jesus because its new world order will be led by whom? The Antichrist. A man who will be against Christ. He will be supported by a false prophet who will look like a lamb but speak like a dragon. Who is the dragon? Satan. And it's an official declaration, a public abandonment of God and Jesus by 2030 or sooner. Or sooner. Do you know within the church itself you have people deconstructing? That's a new term that's coming up. They're deconstructing. They're re-looking at what the gospel is, and is it real? Is there multiple paths? They are deconstructing their salvation. Do you know how blasphemous that is? And in times past, nations have abandoned God and therefore were judged. But this time, it'll be not only America that is abandoning, but the whole world. They are officially and publicly have abandoned God, and they're moving all in the same direction at the same time. And the godless globalists are boasting about the Great Reset, which is the fundamental transformation of what we know of America and the fundamental transformation of the world itself. And the reality is the waiting is tough. Waiting is tough. And it gets a lot tougher by the hour. Not by the day, by the hour. If it's a rumor or something which could translate into a hard reality, there is more than enough happening right now, not only to unsettle our nerves, but to keep us on our toes. Amen? This is truth, folks. Hard and in your face. In business, there's an old comment about when your competition is drowning or sinking in the water or the sea, you put a hose in their mouth and you turn on the water. And it certainly feels like that right now. We've got the hoses in our mouth and the water's coming, and we feel like we have drunk an excessive amount of seawater. And we are saying, enough is enough. Enough. How much longer, Lord? Think about the SEAL 5. I think about the martyrs. And they say, how much longer, O Lord? How much longer? Come, Lord Jesus. I don't want to be in this world. Amen. And we do have little moments of reprieve. Katie and Steve are experiencing that on a glorious vacation in the second closest thing to heaven, Florida. A great meal with family and friends. Time. I'm talking about those little blessings here and there, those reprieve moments. I'm grateful for those moments. I'm grateful for those moments. It doesn't all have to be doom and gloom. We live a life still. God still loves us. But the reality is our trust and our faith has to be greater today than it has ever been before in our Lord. And it needs to grow day by day. And the reality is 2021 was worse than 2020. And the whole 5 minutes of countdown I saw on Channel 9, I really wasn't paying attention, but I listened to a couple people who made comments about their resolution. I just want to look past, get beyond 2021, look behind. It's in my rearview mirror. And I giggled. I said, boy, that's a hopium promise. I told you, remember in the summer I told you about people are going to be sucking down the hopium? Yeah. They certainly did. Look at where we're at now. It's not even full circle. It's worse. It's like the circle, but then the funnel. And we're like going down the funnel. And so I would tell you, do not be fooled by the promise or the resolutions of it's going to get better, because the birth pains are here and the baby, the new order is on its way. When you ladies had babies, when it starts, you don't stop that. It doesn't stop. It starts going, and it gets more intense. And now, perspective, okay? 2019, things were fine. Till March of 2020, things were pretty normal here. We heard about those things. Then it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Look at, like, the craziness of 2020. And then you had an election, if you want to call it that. And then you had 2021, the summer. Remember when, like, the curve went like this, and it was just like, oh, it's gone. And I said that at that point, you can go back and listen to it. People are going to suck in the hopium. They're going to think, oh man, we're right at the threshold of normal again. And now look at where we're at. Now look where we're at. Folks, 2022 is going to be a bumpy ride. It's going to be a bumpy ride. That doesn't mean to fret. That does not mean to be scared. This is all the more reasons to trust in the Lord in the remaining moments, because the vast amount of gruesome taunts the adversary is hurling at us at this very moment. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, which means stay alert. Stay alert, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the building up of the beast and its system and the spirit of Antichrist, the son of perdition, looks to soften our resolve and attempt. He's attempting to break us mentally. That's where the world wants you, to break you. And when we feel hopeless, we need to turn to him. We turn to him, and he enables us, and he empowers us to soak up that pressure and turn it into something good for his glory. 1 Peter 5:9 and 10, right after that adversary, it says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us, hey, he called you. He called us to his external glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, guess what happens after you suffered a while? He perfects you, he establishes you, he strengthens you, and he settles you. That's resolve. That's my resolution. Amen? The remnant remains resolved. The remnant remains steadfast by the power of God's grace through faith. Through faith. Though we don't see him, we love him. Paul talked about that thorn in his side, right? 2 Corinthians 12, 9-10, he said to me, yes, I asked the Lord three times, remove this thing from me. My grace is sufficient for you. You hear that? It's like he's speaking right to you right now. Whatever you got going on, those of you online too, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, this is Paul, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It just rests upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. How do I speak to my neighbors? Right? How do I speak to my neighbors? Boldly, with truth, through grace. Don't muzzle your mouth. When the opportunity opens, you speak and you share the truth. And if you are ridiculed for that, you're suffering for Christ's sake. Amen? Amen? Yes. For when I am weak, then the I am. The I am. The I am is strong. Amen. And so with this enabling, we stand firm for him in spite of the bumps and bruises and the knocks. Get knocked down, I stand right back up again. You know, last week we talked about 15 signs that we are in the end times. The nearness of the rapture and God's wrath to be poured out can be indicated not by the things happening at incredible speed, but also the tenacity of which it's coming. It is fast and it is furious. John Haller, a gentleman I follow out of Oklahoma Fellowship Bible Church, he does a lot of prophecy updates. He's a pastor and attorney. Retired now, but he talks about this. He says, acceleration, conversion, logistics, and understanding. Those are the four things that point to him. You have acceleration of events, and they're all converging at the same time. And you have the logistics piece that needs to be worked out, which you have armies kind of moving around where they need to be, those pieces in place. And then there's the understanding. As Daniel talked about, the knowledge will increase, the understanding. As we see and we get closer to as the end times are unfolding, we start to understand more and more. And John writes in Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it for what? For the time is near. It's near. And so things are fast and furious, just as birth pangs, contractions intensify as the baby gets closer to coming out. You know, who would have thought at the beginning of 2021, the reality of quarantine camps in Australia? Supposedly a free society. The looming prospect of brute force of rules and laws and accusations against the unvaccinated in a plethora of European countries. Particularly, I'm amazed at what Germany is doing. It's like, wow, you're not even a century removed from that. Full circle. How about here now? Look at New York. You look at the people that were arrested in the Burger King. Chicago. Yeah, people were arrested for Burger King because they didn't have their passport and they didn't have proof, and so they arrested them. They didn't read them the Miranda rights either. Chicago, Cook County, that's pretty close to home. California, it's spreading, folks. Do you see that? It's spreading. The grip of totalitarian control is indeed tightening, and it's relentless. It's relentless. What's going to be next? And it's hidden from our view. We know that there's wicked brokers of global power planning those things, and they're all under the guise or under the direction of the prince of the power of the air. And if this Antichrist is certainly here on earth, which I do believe is the case, I shared with you last week that speech. But take heart. Wonder why? Because the Lord knows everything. He's not surprised by any of it. Psalm 2, 1 through 5. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. You are anointed, folks. Saying, let us break their bonds in pieces. Uh-uh, not happening. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. I'm getting bolder by the day because of Christ in me. And cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven shall laugh. Look at the way they're planning. They're like putty in my hands. The Lord shall hold them in derision, and then he shall speak to them in his wrath. In his wrath. And distress them in his deep displeasure. It's coming. It is coming. A time of intensity this world has never seen. And there's still resistance here right now on this earth. For those of you who did listen to the Tom Hughes and Billy Cronin update that Jesse sent out, I loved one comment. He said, we're resistors. We're the resistors. We have the restrainer inside us, so we're the resistors. And so protests continue. And the reality is there are strong spots of remnant believers strewn throughout the world. I know one on Fairview Avenue in Downers Grove. And those pesky, thorny mandates have been far from successful. True. The light has not been blown out. Neither has the salt been swept away yet. The restrainer of the wickedness is alive and very well. Amen?
Amen.
It's just becoming more clear. Clearer. Is that, I think that, yeah, that would be right. More clear, clearer. I don't know, it's that Florida education. So, clearer. As to the sides which people are on, the sides that people have taken. You know, February was the battle lines are being drawn in 2021. I said that. I preached that. The battle lines were being drawn. So if the battle lines were being drawn in February, then what does that mean for 2022? Checkmate? Ooh! Those chess pieces have been moved. They're in place. And the remnant lines are holding up pretty well for the moment. But everything is highly volatile, it's unpredictable, and if you view it from the lens of the unbelieving earth dwellers, it's a scary thing. I think we should start using that term from now on, right? Earth dwellers. You know what I'm talking about. Earth dwellers, right? The Bible makes pretty clear who the earth dwellers are in Revelation, right? They are the unbelieving. Their best life now is here on earth. That is it. Earth dwellers. It doesn't mean that you don't... Yeah, we have a mission, folks, to reach those earth dwellers. So we can be the crazy loony ones with our tinfoil caps, but we know that the earth dwellers, many will shake their fist, even with the truth presented to them clear as day. They will shake their fists. So let's drive home the point here. No matter what comes our way, we are not to lose focus. Focus, focus, focus. Hebrews 3:1, and I actually like this, in the Berean Study Bible, it says, "Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, set your focus on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. Because the enemy of our soul is going to throw the kitchen sink at us to get us distracted. We need to stay focused as we make our last advance for the kingdom of God. Our last push for the harvest of souls." I haven't even listened to it yet, but Carter Conlon taught just on New Year's, the harvest is before us. So praise the Lord on that. Because people are coming to Jesus. They are coming. They are coming to Jesus through this mess. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you." What, you heard that just recently. Don't look back. Look forward. Don't look down. Look up. "Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." Philippians 3, 13 through 14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize, high prize, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So think about Christ. What are your thoughts being filled with? Because the media certainly wants you to think a certain way, right? So does this world. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. An illusion. The promise of this world is an illusion. Satan took Jesus when he was in the desert, right? And he took him and he showed him all the kingdoms of this world. It was an illusion. And Satan said, "Yeah, they're mine." But Jesus knows those kingdoms are passing away. It's an illusion. It's a mirage. This world, as we know it, this thing that we see going on, it's going to pass away. So what are your thoughts being filled with? Is it Christ? Because if it's not, we have to make war with our thoughts if they're not godly thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6, for though we walk in the flesh, we not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all the disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you get the news or when someone speaks to you and it's not of God, you say, nope, not accepting that. My Bible says something different. And I'm a realist, folks, because our mind, our carnal mind, it's enmity against God. And it likes to dwell on everything else but God, right? Like we could find 1,000 other things we want to do than pray and read our Bible and speak to the Lord, right? And that's the distractions too this world system has dealt with and pushed towards our way. And when our mind dwells on something besides the Lord for a long period of time, that actually will drive us to become weary. Because you fret because of the world, and all your faith and trust and all your treasure is here on earth, and you see it crumbling before you, and that's why you get weary, because you're not thinking like a citizen of heaven. And I'm speaking to myself too, because I find myself at times becoming reclused. And I'm not being salt and light like the sun shining through right now. I'm more like the cloud of doom that's, you know, blocking out the sun, right? That's why we need to pray for help with our mind being focused on Christ, because Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Ooh, yes. Perfect peace, because I'm trusting in the Lord, because my mind is focused on him. Proverbs 91, 14 through 15, because he has set his love, because he has focused his love upon me, with a capital M, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. This whole passage of Psalm 91 is one we should certainly be meditating on and certainly be praying over the lives of those in this church. Amen? Amen. So many requests. But our God is faithful. Faithful. His promises are true. Love this quote. I found this the other day. True faith is keeping your eyes on God when the world around you is falling apart. And an even better one, if Molly, you get to listen to this one, your favorite, Jan Markell. Things are not falling apart, they are falling in place. Many of us struggle with so many things, and many of us are being weighed down by the trials of life. If we could just focus on God, we would understand that these things are so little compared to him and the infinite glory that is before us. That's why God tells us to be still. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Being still is also a humbling. It talks about lowering yourself, right? You learned that before. Being still and know that I am God. And it says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In Psalm 46, the oceans are raging. The mountains are shaking, and the nations are raging as well. There's war all around. Yet the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. When we are not still, our mind is being filled with noise from the trials around us. And sometimes you just need to run to your secret place and be with your Lord. be still before him. Yeah, make known your petitions. Prayer is a two-way communication, and sometimes biting your tongue and not saying anything and just listening for that still small voice or the thunderous one when it needs to be. When my dad was sick in the hospital, I remember going for a walk, praying for a miracle, and thinking, wow, like my life is about to change for sure. And it was that thunderous voice that I'm telling you about that I felt. God literally shake me as I was walking around Hinsdale Hospital outside. It's cold. And he said, am I not enough? Am I not enough? Yes, Lord, you are. Now take control of my life and direct my steps. I'm your servant. Use me however you see fit. Being still before him allows him to calm your fears and your worries, because God is who he says he is. He is our shelter. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is our healer. He is our strength. And when you are focused on God in the midst of the trials, it shows you that your heart is trusting in the Lord. And that means your faith is being exercised. And Satan and hell does not like that at all. Look at me. Every one of you in here, your faith and trust, for those of you online, your faith and trust is in the Lord. You are an overcomer. You are a victor. We are victors with Christ. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. Nothing in hell can scare a heart that trusts in the Lord. It requires your focus, though. Focus on God. There are so many times in our life when we sit in worry. Shift your focus back to vertical. Be praying, making your petitions known to the Lord. Commune with him. Something this church certainly is a praying church. The fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. And we get to see it live in action. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Doesn't mean we stop there. We continue on. We press on, developing our prayer life. It gives us the right perspective, folks. As we speak to the Lord throughout our day, we come focused on him. This is natural, right? As we read the Word of God, it becomes natural. Little things, big things. We can come to the Lord with any and all. A young boy in this church sent a text to the church of concern over his rabbit and asked to be prayed that the surgery would go successful. Any and all things. I wonder how many other churches would have actually taken the moment to pray. Childlike faith. Understanding. We pray in the littlest things and the biggest things. The command is to pray continuously. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. To be in an attitude and an atmosphere of instant and continuous prayer. People say, well, how is that possible? It is. When you have those moments, it's not like you're just, because you were speaking the whole time. I'm saying like, ready, instant, in season, and out of season. You're ready to go, to shift your focus, saying, Lord, have your way. Ooh, I lost my temper here. I need control over that. And we come together in prayer and worship, because worship, what we just did today, takes our thoughts and focus on the eternal rather than the external that we see here. The eternal. Focus on Jesus, our soon returning King, as we look to edify and stir one another up in good works. Yes, we all have moments, each one of us, where we get out of tune, we get out of focus. The station, the radio station is a little fuzzy, right? All the more reason why we get together, not forsaking the assembly of the saints, as we see the day approaching. And we see the day approaching. And it's going to get more intense as the day is approaching. So church, we need to armor up. Armor up. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. You are a soldier, Jack. You know that? You're a soldier. Like you and Jeffrey see in Minecraft. Yeah. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That sounds to me, having done all to stand. That sounds like being steadfast, doesn't it? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith in which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is your only offensive weapon. Which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly that I ought to speak. Dressed in our armor, because we see the world for what it is, a sin-filled place of desperate need. It desperately needs the light of Christ, and the darker the world gets to us, the more clear the light of Christ will stand out. It's not hard to focus on a light in a darkened room. Look at how bright it is right now in this place. 2 Peter 1:19 says, so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The prophetic word has been confirmed. Those who stay focused on Christ will find that their perspective on this world and worldly things change. And that is exactly, it is exactly what the Lord is doing right now. Shaking things, and as those things get worse and it gets more dark, we realize how much we don't want to be here any longer. Amen. We want to go home. We want to go to our heavenly home. Yet, we have seen people come to Christ in the last few months. Thank God he didn't call us home then, right? Yeah. There's coming a day when that last Gentile is going to give their heart to the Lord. Last person. Renewing our mind. Moving on. Renewing our mind daily gives us focus as we hear this word's instruction. I didn't think this was going to be a long message, but it looks like it's going to be. Romans 12:1-10. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you are renewing your mind daily by reading his word, then what's the result? You will not conform to this world. You don't bow down when the music plays. John 5:39, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. The Old Testament has the scarlet thread all throughout. It points to Christ. Hebrews 10:7-10, Jesus said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Because we're sheep. his sheep. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly for 1,000 years of millennial reign and then the new heavens and the new earth forevermore. Jesus Christ is the living word who became flesh, and reading his word testifies of Christ. And it brings us more into focus and on him. Because the world wants to grab your attention. It wants your worship. Because that's what Satan desires. God gives us free will. This is the difference, folks. God gives us free will. He desires our worship, but he gives us free will to do so. What's coming on this earth? Satan will force those to worship him. He's not deserving of it all, at all. He's a thief, a liar. The world wants your attention. It wants your worship. It wants to weigh you down with the weights of this world. And I thought about the movie Scrooge. And I thought about Jacob Marley. Do you remember the chains that he built for himself? The chains of the world that he had built for him. And they just kept piling on, right? Getting you distracted with the daily grind. Losing your purpose. Your purpose. Your purpose is to worship our King Jesus in spirit and truth. Your purpose is to share the gospel, being salt and light bearers in this world, occupying and redeeming our time that he gives us. That breath was a gift of God. Why? Why is that? Why is that our purpose? Because he redeemed us. That's why. Paul said, I'm an ambassador and I'm a bondservant. I'm a representative, but I'm tied to Christ now. It's not I that live, but Christ in me. He purchased us at the auction block of sin, and there's been countless others who have gone before us as Hebrews 12. I love all these verses that I constantly. Therefore, we are also, since are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Get rid of those Jacob Marley chains and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand, the throne of God. And he has either stood up already or he is getting very close to standing up to take that scroll from the Father's hand. So last point, focus, focus, focus. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When, you didn't think I was going to talk about the rapture, did you? When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah! The reason for the command is given because we have been raised to new life with Christ. So we focus on the things above, which moves our focus away from earthly things to those glorious eternal things. And the reason is given because we have died to self, and Christ is our very life, our very breath. And helping us stay focused on Christ is a reminder. It is a reminder that Jesus is coming again. And when we see him, we will know his glory. And we will enter into glory. The worse things get on this earth, the closer we are to seeing our redemption. So get excited. Jesus is coming, folks. Get ready. And if what you see on the earth scares you right now, I am telling you, you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you can have an eternal hope, not one that is snatched away by the world, but a hope that you will be on flight 777, if I get three in there. And to do that, you must A, admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Because as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as a result, because of sin, the death penalty is deserved. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Before the foundations of the earth, it was foreordained that the Lamb would be slain. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the God-man. He enters into the courtroom and says, I will pay his fine. And in order to receive that gift, you must believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10, 9 through 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Do not tarry. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for your word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it gives us purpose, and it gives us focus on you, Lord. Refine us, strengthen us, establish us, Lord. Give us opportunity this week to share your goodness and your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.